On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
How you doing?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What are you doing? What are you doing here? How are you? Goodbye. What's new? How's the family? How are you feeling? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. This is the show that you should be listening to. It was so scary yesterday. I was walking down the street and I felt like somebody was following me, and I looked over my shoulder and this large glumping woman was like staring at me and following me, and I turned the corner and she turned the corner, and I tried to shake her. I mean, not physically, but you know, I ducked into an alleyway and I looked behind me and she was there. And I got scared. I thought, oh my God, I'm being stalked. And I just stopped and I turned around and the lady was there. And I said, my God, why are you stalking me? And she said, no. I'm on Facebook and I'm following you. I said, no, that's not the idea. It's not what you do. You click on the Facebook page and you follow me that way. You don't physically walk behind me all the time. Says, oh, I didn't know that. So I learned there's not much difference between a follower and a stalker. So I think I have like over 1,000 followers and probably about 75 stalkers. And then, for some reason, she took her finger and she poked me on the shoulder. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And she said, I'm tagging you. I said, no, I don't think that's what that means. My Facebook page yesterday, and somebody wanted me to like them, and all I had to do was just click this little box. It was a heart or something, and I would like their thing or something. I would like something that they did, and to be honest with you, I don't like anybody. So I mean, I don't like what you're doing. There's no button for that, is there? Yeah, there's a button for liking something, but there's not a button for not liking something. Why is that? Why don't I have that option? Either you say you like it, or you shut up. I guess that's the way it should be in life, but at the same time, if you're going to give me an option of buttons, you got to give me an option of not liking something. Oh, I'd be on Facebook all day not liking things. I'd be clicking that box. There'd be no box left. I'd be so many clicks on it. I'd have to change my mouse. I'd have to change my mouse. Never thought I'd be saying that in my lifetime. I gotta go to the store and get another mouse. You have mice in your house? No. This is a little thing. You press on it and it moves around and it moves the cursor around. Oh, I don't like cursing. Jeez. Gotta learn all these terms. I gotta get a new mouse. Then I'm going to go down to the store and I'm going to get a new gerbil. Oh my God. What's wrong with us? No, actually, what's wrong with you? I was fine. Then you had to come along and make up these words and these simple, stupid things. Anyway, welcome to the show. I think it's Monday. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell. I have to look at the calendar these days to figure out what day it is. It's trash day for me. This is when I speak trash. No, this is when the trash collectors come to my house and remove the trash. I love that. I get excited on trash day. Someone's going to come in front of my house. That didn't sound right. Someone's going to pick up the trash in front of my house and haul it away. But they don't take spouses for some reason, even if you put them in the recycle bin. They frown upon that. They don't find that to be a funny joke. I do. Very excited. When I hear the big rumbling of the trash truck, I run to the window to watch them put the trash in the truck and then ride away with my trash. It's such a cleansing feeling. It's like a... Ooh, what is it like? It's like a social colonoscopy. They're removing everything that you don't want and they're taking it away. It's wonderful. It's a very cleansing thing. Oh, I shower a lot, but it doesn't come close to someone taking the trash away from the front of my house. That's really cleansing. Ugh. I usually celebrate with an alcoholic beverage. Anyway, how are you? Don't answer. It's not a two-way thing. I meant that rhetorically. Do I care how you are? Not greatly, no, not really. Does it sound good when I say it? Yes. Do I ask myself questions and answer them myself? Yes, that's what I'm doing. Am I hungry? Yes, I am. I have an acquaintance who talks like that. It's annoying. They have a conversation with themselves, and I just sit there and listen to it for some reason. I don't participate. Hi, Ron. How are you? Did I have a great weekend? You bet I did. Did these shoes hurt me? You bet they hurt me. Am I going to drive to Canada next week with the kids? Yes, I am. Am I going to have fun? Yes, we are. I mean, what do you need me for? I'm just hanging out and listening to you talk to yourself. It's ridiculous. I went on vacation last week. I went to New York, and there was this lady walking toward me, and she was talking real loud, waving her arms. And I thought, okay, I guess some people are not mentally fit. And she came toward me, and it was about to pass me. And then I realized she was on the on her cell phone, but the cell phone was not visible. She had one of those little things on her face, not a mole, a little microphone thing. And I guess there was like an earplug in her ear or something. And she looked like she was mentally problem. You know, things were wrong. But indeed, she was just talking on the phone, and I realized I can't tell anymore if somebody is insane or whether they're just having a conversation on the phone. Either way, stay away from me. Stay away from me. I don't know why someone's phone conversation has to be public. why I have to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that stuff. I went to a comedy show over the weekend, a place called Patriot's Place. It was called the Comedy something, the Comedy Place or something. I don't know his original names. And there was a comedian that I've known. He was on my television show like decades and decades ago. Oh, I'm so old. He was very, very funny, but cursed a lot. Said the F word. Frosty. I hate it when comedians say Frosty. No, you know what the F word is. Said it a lot, like in every sentence. And I guess that's what comedy is. It's telling jokes, throwing the F word into every single sentence. And I mean every sentence. There comes a point where it's just... You're just coming off as an idiot. I mean, does it make somebody sound moronic and low life to use the F word continually? I think it does. I really do. It shows a lack of command of any kind of language whatsoever. The F word actually refers to, originally, the act of sex. So I don't know why it's used as a an adjective continually. it's funny because it's so stupid. That's why it's funny too. When I meet a person or a comedian typically does this, they use the F word like hundreds of times in their act. And people laugh because that seems so funny to them. It is funny. It's funny how moronic you're making yourself sound like. You see, the English language and other languages as well, I think they curse in every language. I don't know. But it's the use of words that communicate. If you're using the F word every other word that comes out of your mouth, you're a moron. I'm sorry, and maybe the word moron is like, you know, offensive to some people, but I'm trying to make a point. I was brought up in a home, that's not the end of the sentence, I was brought up in a home where there was no cursing at all. My parents did not curse. They didn't even curse at each other. They never cursed at us. We never cursed around them. My grandparents didn't curse. None of them did. I grew up in a squeaky clean situation. Was I part of a convent? No. Oh, I did that. I asked myself a question. I answered it. Ooh, freaky. They're starting to get to me. I'm starting to talk like that. I was not brought up in a convent. I was not brought up in a very religious home. We just didn't curse. So now when I hear a curse word, I find it to be a display of uncontrollable anger. Yeah. And when someone is cursing excessively around me, I remove myself from the area. Because I don't like it. There's no reason for that. If you're using curse word, using the F word continually, you're obviously upset and probably on the verge of thinking about killing somebody. You're out of control. You're displaying anger. I don't want to be around you. Why would I want to be around somebody that uses the F? No. I want to be around somebody that uses the love word. Anyway, that's how straight and wonderful I am. The other thing I wanted to complain about, thanks for being here, by the way. This is like a therapy session for me. Thank you. It's like I should be paying you. The other way around, right? You're my therapist. Thank you very much. People who write books, they're not wonderful people. They're just people that are expressing themselves in a therapeutic manner and getting it out on pages and making you pay for it. you find it entertaining, the author believe me, it's cathartic for them. Even if they're writing a fictional book, a piece of fiction, it's cathartic for them. They are in their characters. You know that they are. And they may say, no, I made that character up. No, that character is you. It's a part of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know what to say. You wouldn't know how to react. You're in that book. You're in that character. Don't tell me you're not. And if you write a book that's very dark and very very sadistic, that's what you are. That's a part of you that's coming out on paper. Ugh. I coughed. Hear that? Allergies. Here we go. Here we go with the allergies again. Anyway, ran into this girl with my car, and I'm sorry. I ran into this girl, and she was a comedian, and this is how she talked. I can't do it as well as she does, but telling a joke, and she said, so she goes, I go, how are you today? She goes, I'm fine. I go, what are you fine about? She goes, I don't know. I go, no, well, then we go, and then she goes, I don't like it here. And I go, well, why don't you like it here? And she goes, I don't like it here because I don't like it here. And he goes, who goes? I go, she goes, I don't go. And she goes. The word is says. Says means something comes out of your mouth in a word dialogue situation. You're saying something. The word is says. It's not goes. She goes, well, I like it here. What are you talking about? Goes is an action word. It doesn't have anything to do with words coming out of your mouth. You're not going something. You're saying something. Stop using that goes. It's the wrong verb. The other one, which makes no sense, is the word like instead of the word says. I'm like, I don't feel that's the right thing to do. He's like, well, I think it is. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, I do know what I'm talking about. I've lived here forever. I'm like, no, you haven't. He's like, yes, I did. And then I'm like, I'm not liking this. And I say, like, I don't like it. He's like, who's that? I go, she goes, he likes, I like, she likes, we go, she goes, I go, she likes, I like, I go. I like, she says. No, she doesn't say, she goes, and she likes. She like goes... She like goes. Now we're using both of the verbs that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. She goes like, I don't have any money. I go like, I do. She goes like, well, can you give me some of that money? I go like, stop it. The word is says. That's why we made up these words. Don't take other words and put them in place of them. It don't make any sense to me. Now I'm more focused on the use of the English language than I am about what the person's saying. This is a generational thing. My parents did not talk like that. I mean, my parents did not go like that. They went like... they went like, Ronnie, take a bath. I go. She goes. I'm like... I don't think so. I go, I don't know. I like, she likes, I don't like. She likes, I don't like. I'm going like, she doesn't go like. Oh God, stop it. Stop it. I like have a guest. She goes, she's like going, I like going. She's like, I don't like it. I go like, she likes go. I go like, I like to go like, she goes like, I go like, I'm not going like, she goes like, maybe she goes like, I don't go like, I don't go like, she goes like,
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Ellis Nanny joins us now. He's a tiny home super host, and he knows all the stuff that's a craze that's seems to have taken hold here. A few years ago, I started watching some television programs about tiny homes, and I found it fascinating. Why are we so fascinated with this concept all of a sudden?
Well, it definitely depends on who you ask, but the people who are into the tiny house movement definitely love it because of, I think they're just drawn to like a simpler lifestyle.
Yeah.
And also the idea that we can have everything we need without going into a lifetime of debt. And I think that for a younger generation, especially where costs are rising, I think that that's a really powerful opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, tiny homes get even a little more, I mean, some of them are in tree houses, I hear, and barns, some concepts I never thought of.
Yeah, the higher the better, I'd say. I definitely have stayed in a couple of the tree houses, and that definitely adds a more fun element, brings out the kid in you.
Well, see, now Alice has stayed in tree houses. We all played in tree houses, but now this is becoming a thing. And we're familiar with Airbnb, and apparently this type of home has come into the mix even there.
Yeah, what's really cool is Airbnb recently restructured their platform, so it makes it easier than ever to find unique stays, and tiny houses like mine kind of fall into that category. So, you know, you can go to a place and you can book a standard hotel, or you can go there and you can have a little more of an adventure and experience that tiny life for yourself before you decide to get rid of all of your worldly possessions, and you know, have a little bit more unique of an experience than you would on your trip normally.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually do have a place that you you purchased it a little while ago, about 5 years ago. Is that true?
Yeah, so I bought the property in 2015, and then I spent about 4 years in between my travels developing the property and sourcing the secondhand materials to build it myself. And I continually adding to it, but I started listing it in 2019 and had it on the platform for 3 years now.
And how big is the home, and exactly what is it like?
The footprint of it is 10 by 20, so 200 square feet, but then it's got an 80 square foot loft, which acts as a sleeping area.
Huh. Interesting. And apparently it's doing quite well.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that people would choose to stay in a smaller spot, but I have tried to make it feel big inside and very functional, and then outside I've tried to make the outdoor space very very luxurious and have a lot of options for things to do, just to try and appeal to as many people as possible, and you know, really just reflect the kid that's in me.
Wow. And the places like this are all over the country, and some of them quite unique, and well, actually they're all kind of unique, I would assume. How do you list this? Does Airbnb have a special section for tiny homes, or how do we find it?
Yeah, so I mean, they do have if you're searching for a place to stay, they do have a special feature. At the top of the website now, you can search by different categories. Tiny houses is one of them. Specifically, there's an OMG category where you're going to find potatoes and hobbit holes and stuff like that. And then as a host, if you want to host something special, you just go to airbnb.com/host, and then it'll kind of walk you through the process, and it'll help you get in the right category and get your account set up.
Wow. This has been quite lucrative and rewarding for you, I understand.
Yeah. Everyone's situation is different, but luckily for me, I was able to actually pay for my build in the first year of hosting alone.
Wow. And again, Elsa, like what brought you into this realm?
I was fortunate enough to run into a lady named Christy Wolf, who is also an Airbnb super host, has a bunch of unique properties all over the country. So she kind of set me on that path, and then that along with kind of my entrepreneurial lifestyle and desire to have passive income and just freedom, just the freedom to choose my paths and not be controlled by the need for money and working and trading my time. I had a lot of luck along the way and was able to make this dream a reality.
So this works on both ends. For people that are traveling and want a different kind of experience, staying in a tiny home is quite the conversation piece. And on the other hand, if you're actually wanting to get into the Airbnb and make your home available to others, that's also the other side of the coin that seems to be working well as well.
Yeah, it's a very symbiotic relationship, and it's great to have a platform that puts us in contact with each other.
What does it feel like to have somebody in your house? That's the one part of it that I can't get past. What is that like?
That is a big turnoff for a lot of people, and I have to say it's not as scary as a lot of people think. My friend Christy Wolf always says, you know, the worst-case scenario, it's carpet and paint. You know, you can fix everything. So I've had nothing but great experiences. You do get a stinker guest or someone who complains a little bit now and then, but for the most part, people are good, and there's a lot of strategies for, you know, kind of avoiding situations that would be uncomfortable or destructive to your property.
Very, very good. Excellent. Well, continued success to you. Now, where would we go in order to take a look at the possibilities on both ends?
Airbnb.com/host if you want to host, whether it's unique or not, or Airbnb.com if you want to stay somewhere fun, and check out that tiny house section for sure if you're there.
Yes, very interesting. I find the most interesting thing about the tiny houses is how creative one can be. It takes creativity to do that, and when you see that in front of you, you go, whoa, that is like, that's amazing.
I think that the intentional and creative use of space is what makes them so fun.
Yeah, that or you can get a New York City apartment. Those are the two options.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Your tiny house probably has more space than a New York City apartment.
I think probably more than some.
Yes. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. Yay, you've been wonderful. Yay. I go like, yay. I'm going to go. He goes, I'm going. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Part of Ron Van Dam today was played by Jason Fuller.